Excuse me, Mr. God? I mean, sir? Lord? What should I call you?
No formalities here, son. Just God will be fine.
Well, God, I'm a reporter for the St. Paul Times.
Oh, yes. I've heard your stories.
Really? Wow.
Actually, I read everything anybody writes. Omniscience, you know.
I was thinking I should ask you the questions I've prepared here, but I guess you already know what they are without my needing to read them off. Could we just start from the top then, please, if you will?
Very well. You seem to have a lot of questions, but I've got all the time in the world. I'll just move back time to where it was when we're done.
This isn't going to be one of those things where you give the interview and then make me forget all about it by rolling back time, is it?
Oh, heavens no. I just mean I'll make time move back for everybody else, not for us. Don't worry if it seems impossible or paradoxical. I do that sort of stuff all the time. Omnipotence, you know.
Anyhow, my first question.
You want me to prove that I exist? Please. You can't really mean this question seriously now. Just look at me, listen to me. You know I'm here.
The senses can't be trusted. I need something beyond that. How do I know I'm not dreaming?
Have you tried the pinching method?
Ouch! Still, this may all seem perfectly real. But how do I know there's not an evil demon tricking me? I need something which can't be doubted. If I can think of a scenario in which this experience wouldn't be a real indication that you exist, like the demon's deception, then my belief that you exist is baseless. It rests on air, no foundation. I'll have to conclude that you don't exist, unless you can give me some proof.
You've been reading that idiot Descartes, I can tell. Hell was too good a reward for that one.
Should I take it you disagree with Descartes' proofs of your existence? What do you think of his ontological proof? Aren't you the greatest being imaginable, and doesn't existence have to be part of your greatness?
Being omnipotent allows me to imagine a being greater than me. The way in which the being I imagine is greater than me is that, unlike me, it's so great that it's impossible to imagine anything greater than it. Now, according to my omniscient observations of the universe, this being I imagine does not exist. Case closed.
But surely, even if you don't like Descartes' proofs, you can show me that it's irrational to doubt your existence.
Oh yes, I can do that. I think we just saw an example of irrational doubt when you said our conversation isn't enough to convince you that I'm here. Do you regularly hallucinate?
Well, sometimes after I've had too much to drink. Gee, sir. I mean, God. I hope this isn't going on my record.
Think nothing of it.
Thanks. Now, my next question is about...
evil. You want to know why there's evil in the world. I hate it when people ask that. May I ask you a question before I answer?
Shoot.
Excuse me?
Sorry, Freudian slip.
Well, tell me, what's the least violent and most happy, peaceful, and friendly TV show you can think of?
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? Barney? Teletubbies?
Now tell me, how do those shows make you feel when you watch them?
First bored, then sickened. If I'm subjected to the suffocating cheerfulness for too long, sometimes I start to feel suicidal.
Exactly. That's why evil and suffering exist.
I see. You give us evil so that we aren't all driven to suicide by the dullness, by the disgusting perfection and happiness?
No. You misunderstand. I put evil in the world so that I don't get driven to suicide. It's hard enough to find diversions to make all eternity interesting as it is, without making Earth into a dull paradise.
So, do you like it when we kill each other? Does watching genocide give you pleasure? I'm sorry, that may have been a sensitive topic. Moving on to other matters now. How are things in heaven? Have you ever had any problems? Discontent people? Post-Lucifer, I mean? Labor issues are omnipresent. There was that strike by the Saints a while back. They said I wasn't treating them any better than the billions of regular residents of heaven, and insisted that their position demanded better compensation. Worse yet, most of the angels took their side, insisting that there should be a hierarchy of happiness, with saints and angels kept substantially happier than the common residents of heaven. Were things shut down for a while, or did you hire scabs? I mean replacement workers.
The devil lent me some of his staff. For 2 months I had them answering prayers. As you might expect, that didn't go too well. Our complaints department was really getting stressed out from all the negative feedback.
Sounds like a really difficult situation. How did you resolve it?
Finally, I had to make an example out of the main organizer by sending him to hell. That put them all back to work quickly enough.
I'm sure our readers would love to hear who's been relocated.
Section C, paragraph 12 of this year's God-Devil Labor Agreement specifies that I'm not allowed to release the names of his customers without his permission. If you're curious, just remember to ask him when you meet him.
I'm going to meet the devil? You mean you've arranged an interview for me with him?
Oh, yes. An eternal interview.
Well, let's see. I have just a few more questions left. Are you satisfied with how the faithful worship you? How can they please you better?
Every time I've tried to explain that, it just seems to lead to the likes of plagues and wars and people getting nailed to a cross. Even when I wrote it down in a book, nobody can agree on what it means. I will say only that nobody has come close to understanding what I wanted, so I suggest you all forget it and go on about your business. It'll be fine. I can take care of myself.
Down on Earth, as I'm sure you know, philosophers have long pondered the problem of whether you can create a rock so heavy that you cannot lift it. What light can you shed on this issue for our readers?
Rest assured, I can create such a rock and then lift it too. See, your many worlds interpretation of quantum mechanics is basically correct, if rudimentary. I use quantum indeterminacy to shift between the universe where I can't lift the rock and the one where I can lift the rock, and then I fuse those two universes together so that both are true.
I'll take your word for that. Now, what do you feel is your greatest accomplishment? Perhaps the Big Bang, Earth, human life? What is it?
Nitrogen.
I don't understand.
I would not expect you to.
God, what are your goals for the future?
I think I'll let this universe run its course for a few more trillion years, then I'll make a bigger one. I feel so confined here. My next universe will have twice as much space-time, but using only half the materials.
How is that going to work? Will it be spread out and mostly empty?
No. It'll be 3 times as dense. By switching to a 12-dimensional model of superstring, I can create a new type of virtual particle which will elongate the bosons and allow Bose-Einstein condensates to form at a higher temperature, making the universe much more efficient than this one. I'm really looking forward to it. Sometimes I think about doing away with this universe early in order to get on with it.
I see.
I rather doubt that, but your time is up.
It is? I'm only 32. Oh, you mean the interview. Thank you very much for your time.
Don't mention it.
May I come back again with follow-up questions in a few weeks?
Don't even think about it.
Would you mind if I stay here for a while and find some famous dead people to interview?
Yes, I would mind. Heaven would not be heaven if people were bothered by reporters in it. You suggested you'd like to interview the devil, though. I can help you out there. Here, I'll give you a kick to get you started.
Ouch.
Mr. Devil? I mean, Satan? Lucifer? What should I call you?
Just Devil will be fine.
Well, Devil, I'm a reporter for the St. Paul Times. I'd like to interview you if it's not too much trouble.
Why, oh why, did they name cities after saints? My emissaries have so much more to do with what goes on there.
That brings me to my first question. Could you give our readers some kind of idea of what you've been doing lately and what your plans are for the near future, please?
I'm afraid that's classified information. All I can say is that you should expect a number of murders this week and a new war starting within the year. Perhaps you'll also be interested to hear that I'm responsible for the recent series of disasters that have hit your planet lately. Global warming, earthquakes.
Well, actually, science has explained all of these things. I don't see where you come into the picture.
And you believe it? You believe this primitive so-called science of yours over my word?
Well, yes.
I hate science. Oh, what's the use anymore? I admit it. I haven't been doing anything up there lately. I'm grown too fat and old and lazy. When I look up at the Earth and see what you people do with it, I just can't think up any more evil things to do than you already do yourselves.
Thank you for your honesty. It's quite commendable.
Not so loud, please. The last thing I need is a reputation for morality.
Sorry, I didn't mean it that way. I'm sure you had ulterior motives for your honesty. Now, my next question for you goes back to when I interviewed your partner in the business of post-life human soul housing, Mr. God. He indicated that the two of you have a labor agreement. Would you mind telling our readers if the number of souls you can capture is specified by such an agreement?
I used to get a guaranteed minimum, so that if there weren't enough immoral souls in any given year, then I could take some virtuous ones to do some of the milder jobs. These days the tables have turned a bit. I've been getting more than I can process, and the agreement forces God to take in some people with, shall we say, rather questionable virtue, who reassigns to some of heaven's more menial tasks.
And what sort of tasks do you put people to here in hell?
Oh, there's a wide variety, much like on your Earth. We have janitors, plumbers, telephone sanitizers, sewage inspectors, inventory specialists, leaf blower operators, and so on. We also have lawyers to handle the disputes and contractual issues, and quite a lot of advertising specialists to sell our image to the world. For law and advertising, we use people who excelled in those fields during life. Fortunately, we get quite a lot of those. The rest of the jobs are just assigned according to how evil the person was in their life.
Could you tell me what the worst, most torturous job is? What do the very worst people have to do?
Actually, you can see them from here. Have a look. Over in that corner there?
No, it can't be. You wouldn't.
It is. That lot of murderers spends all day taking tech support calls from abusive customers who comment on their computer's convenient slide-out cup holder while writing click on their screen and complaining that they can't locate the any key. We require our help desk staff to be friendly and cheerful while they run through the troubleshooting procedure to fix the problems of our value customers.
Please, say no more. I'm really going to clean up my life when I get back to Earth. Getting back to my questions, I asked God what his greatest accomplishment was, and I'd be really interested to know what yours was for comparison. What's been your greatest accomplishment to date?
Fire. Figuring out how to create a fire really brightened things up down here.
But wasn't fire harnessed by people in the Paleolithic period about 500,000 years ago?
Who told you that?
Archaeological records.
I faked those, haven't you heard?
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but I don't believe you.
Oh, hell. I don't seem to be any good at lying anymore. Rub it in, why don't you? Yes, hell was originally just a pile of wood. Yes, it was an early human arsonist who, after his death, showed me that by rubbing sticks together, he could set off an eternal flame. You'd have it that I've never accomplished anything, but that's where you're wrong. It's not the method for making fire that matters, it's all in how you market fire. The idea to make fire the main symbol of hell and to highlight it in all our brochures, that was my very own special directive.
If you say so. I really must get going now so I can write up the story for tomorrow's paper. Thank you very much for your time and for your frank answers to my questions.
You're going to print this? Damnation. People won't be afraid of me anymore. Perhaps to be safe, I should kill you or at least wipe your memory.
Please, let's not be rash here. Your reputation precedes you. Everyone knows the devil is a fearsome power to be reckoned with. I have nothing to prove my visit, so when I write something making you look weak, no one will believe it. They'll just laugh at me.
True enough, I suppose.
Goodbye.
Until we meet again.
Interviews in the Afterlife was written, produced, and performed by Paul Narum. This program is licensed for free use and redistribution. Available on the web at www.quietplease.org/ownstuff.